So one of the other things that Jesus said in Matthew 24, again, trying to school people up to the end times. He said, wherefore, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet, by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So as Bible students, we should understand, what's Jesus saying? That you should understand the abomination of desolation.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William Arks, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us, first half of The Antichrist, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Antichrist, Part 2.
This in 2 weeks, but it looks like I'm gonna need a third week because there's so much information in the Bible on the Antichrist. Now, you know, again, I always and I hope you guys are appreciative and patient with me because I always like to review a little bit and catch us up on some things that we talked about. Now, I was talking to Naomi before the lesson today, and you know, there's a couple people that were asking about notes, and you know, hopefully I can get the notes to you next week. You know, we'll have the notes for the whole 3 week series, and so you will have those and be able to refer to them at a later point. Now, I do want to say that I have written a book and published it. This was years ago, on Bible prophecy. And in the book that I wrote on Bible prophecy, there's a section in there on the Antichrist. I'm in the process at some point of reorganizing, rewriting, putting that back together again, and publishing, doing a second publishing on it. So you know, in the future, I don't want to say the near future, but in the future, my book is going to be reinstituted on Bible prophecy, and be able to get that to you guys. All right. So just as we go back and look at some things we talked about last week, you know, we see that. Okay. We see that the Antichrist, as far as, you know, who is the Antichrist, and always, and I know I've told you this story before, but there was a guy who was upset with his pastor. And one of the reasons that he got upset with his pastor was because when his pastor taught through the book of Revelation, he only taught one view, and that was the future view of the book of Revelation. And so, you know, when he got out and began to, you know, talk to people and deal with other situations, he found out that there was, you know, more than one view of the book of how the book of Revelation was to be interpreted. And so, you know, he got a little upset because he felt that his pastor shortchanged him and didn't let him know there was other views out there. So, you know, I don't want to shortchange anyone. And I want to let you know that there are other views out there as far as the Antichrist, so that, you know, as you deal with others, that you will know that there's the possibility that you might be talking to someone who doesn't believe like you believe, you know, and so we don't want you to be knocked off of your foundation, and we don't want you to be shaking in your boots when you hear somebody say, well, I don't necessarily believe that view that you believe. So there are three views as to who the Antichrist is. And there is the symbolic view, which basically says that any system that opposes God's kingdom is antichrist. So you remember John said in his epistle that there are many antichrists in the world. So what was he talking about? He was talking about not only people, but he was talking about systems. There's a lot of antichrist systems that are in the world. So some people don't believe in a literal antichrist. They believe that the antichrist represents a system of evil, of wickedness that opposes God's kingdom. There's the preterist view, and the preterist view says that the book of Revelation was fulfilled in the first century, that there's no futuristic fulfillments, but they were all filled in the first century. And so they see the Antichrist, they say, well, he's already come, and he came in the form of Nero, the emperor of Rome. And so some people say, well, Nero was the Antichrist. And then there's the futurist view, which is what I believe. And, you know, I'm not sure if you have considered this before and what your belief is. But the futurist view says that the Antichrist will be a literal person who will come into preeminence during the tribulation, and he will rule and reign during the tribulation. We looked at biblical names for the Antichrist in the Bible. So a lot of times when you read the Bible and it talks about the Antichrist, it doesn't always call him the Antichrist. There are other identifications for the Antichrist. The little horn, and we're going to look at that a little bit later. The despicable person, the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, the rider on the white horse, and also the beast. And so, you know, we're going to look at that one too today, the beast. You know, what does it say when it talks about the Antichrist being the beast? Now, last week, we said that over the years, there have been people who have been identified as candidates for the Antichrist. The Pope, you know, any of the popes, some people say could have been the Antichrist. Nero, again, as we've seen in the first century. Hitler, because of his persecution of the Jews. Henry Kissinger, who was the Secretary of State for the Nixon and Ford administration. Some people identified him as the Antichrist. Mikhail Gorbachev, the president of Russia, back in the day, right? And many people believe that he was the Antichrist because he had a mark on his forehead. And some people said that was a mark of the beast. And then American presidents have been identified as the Antichrist. You know, again, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, you know, these individuals have been identified as the Antichrist. But the bottom line is that we don't know who the Antichrist is. You know, hopefully, as we go through this study, that, you know, we can see who the scripture says that he is. But as far as identifying who it is, the person, you know, we don't know who it is at this point. Now, you know, there will come a time when we will know who it is. Now, I want to talk about something today that is very important that we as God's people, as Bible students, understand. And that is the abomination of desolation. You know, say that 10 times fast, right? The abomination of desolation. As a Christian, as a prophecy, a person who is interested in prophecy, as a Bible student, you should know what the abomination of desolation is. So I'm going to break that down for you today, and we're going to understand, because to understand the abomination desolation gives you a better identification of who the Antichrist is. right? So when we understand the abomination desolation, we can understand a little bit better who the Antichrist is according to scripture. Now, in Matthew 24:15, Jesus was speaking on the end times. He gave his disciples a discourse on end times, and he talked about cosmic things going on in the heavens. He talked about earthquakes. He talked about wars and rumors of wars. What was something else that he talked about that we're dealing with right now? You know what else Jesus talked about in the last days? He talked about pestilence. And what is pestilence? Viruses, right? So Jesus talked about viruses. So, Corona, Delta, this did not take God by surprise when these viruses came. In Matthew 24, Jesus talked, he said, in the last days, there's going to be viruses, right? Now, he didn't name them. He didn't say, COVID-19 and Delta variant. He didn't name them, but he did say that there would be viruses. And so, there have been viruses in the history of the world, right? Right? Now, again, there have been viruses in the history of the world. How many have we seen like this one that we're dealing with now? That's worldwide. That's affected every part of the globe. Now, even though there's been viruses, throughout the history of mankind, you may remember when we looked at our series on the end times, the last days, what did Jesus say? Jesus said that these signs would become what? They would become more intense and more frequent. So have we ever seen a time in the history of the world? Now, again, we've seen viruses in the history of the world, but have we ever seen a time when a virus has been so frequent and so intense? All right. Well, again, Jesus told us this was going to happen. So, it shouldn't take us by surprise. And if it didn't take Jesus by surprise, he let us know. Now, if we have studied the Bible and understand, Matthew 24, we know that this is what Jesus said. So one of the other things that Jesus said in Matthew 24, again, trying to school people up to the end times, he said, "Wherefore, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet, by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." So as Bible students, we should understand. What's Jesus saying? That you should understand the abomination desolation. Now, last week, I talked about, and I think I had three slides that talked about, why it's important to study Bible prophecy and how that a lot of people are not interested. They're not interested in Bible prophecy. Again, somebody would say, "Well, I want to know how I can pay my bills today. I want to know how I can deal with my coworker. I want to know how I can deal with this illness that I, I want 50 ways to be successful. I want know how to have wisdom." We want, that's what people want today. So they don't want Bible prophecy. They're not interested in Bible prophecy. But the fact of the matter is, saints, and I said this last week, that one third of the Bible is prophetic, is prophecy. Now, in other words, when people say that they're not interested in Bible prophecy, basically, what are they saying? I'm not interested in one third of the Bible. Give me two thirds, and I'm not interested in that one third. But again, Jesus made it very clear that we need to understand Bible prophecy. He said, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." So, to me, if Jesus is telling us that it's important for us to understand, then we need to understand. So the abomination desolation, what is this? I'm going to leave that right there for a second. I want you to get that word, that phrase, the abomination of desolation. All right. And where did Jesus say that it came from? He said it came from the prophet Daniel. So let's go back and look at Daniel, right? And Daniel talks about it two times. He talks about it in Daniel 11, and he talks about it in Daniel 12. So in Daniel 11, 31, let me read this. Now again, Jesus referred back to this. He says, "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." Okay, so notice what's going on here. It says that the sanctuary will be polluted, right? And that the daily sacrifice will be taken away. All right, sanctuary will be polluted, and the sacrifices will be taken away. All right, so let me go back. Jesus said what? Understand the abomination desolation. Back to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11. "And from that day, the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, and there shall be 1,209 days." So again, Daniel repeats this, and he says what? The sacrifices shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolation. So what is this? You know, what happened in the book of Daniel? Well, let me show you what happened in the book of Daniel. There was a guy by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, and he was a general that came out of the, I believe it was the Seleucid kingdom, and he overtook Jerusalem. And when he overtook Jerusalem, and the Jews were worshiping in the temple, he stopped the sacrifices, right? He stopped the sacrifices. He stopped the feasts, he stopped the holy days, and he defiled the temple by offering a pig on the altar. So that is the ultimate insult to a Jewish person that worships God, you know, because, you know, the pig was unclean, to unclean animal. And so what he did, he went and offered a pig on the altar in the temple. So this is what's called the abomination of desolation. So when Jesus said the abomination of desolation spoken of in the book of Daniel, this is what Jesus was talking about here. Let me share with you a little bit on this guy Antiochus Epiphanes. We see he's in Daniel chapter 8, and he's known as the little horn. It says that he would be a king of fierce countenance. He would understand dark sentences. He will trick the people with double meanings. All right. So now just look, as we talk about Antiochus, the same thing could be said about the Antichrist. All right. The same thing. All right. Antiochus, he was empowered by another. God allowed Satan to empower Antiochus, and God will allow Satan to empower the Antichrist. He was prosperous in everything he does. So will the Antichrist be prosperous. He destroyed the holy people of Israel. And we see that that's something that the Antichrist will do. He deceived, according to Daniel 8, 23 through 25. He deceived many people. All right, the Antichrist will deceive many people. He was self-glorified. He lifted himself up. So will the Antichrist lift himself up. He shall destroy many by peace. All right. Antiochus, you know, came peacefully, you know, like he was a friend of the Jews, and then he turned on them. Well, we see the same thing about the Antichrist. He shall stand against the prince of prince, right? He'll stand against Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will do that. And he will be destroyed, but not by human power, but by the power of God. And so we see that the same thing. These same things are true of the Antichrist. All right, now, what else did he do? Look at point number two. He killed over 40,000 Jewish people in 3 days and sold many of them into slavery. All right, he stopped the sacrifices, right? He offered a pig on the altar. Notice what else he did. This was a wicked and evil guy. He forced the priest to swallow broth from the pig and then sprinkled his ashes on the altar. So he made the priest drink pig broth. Wow. And then he placed an image of Jupiter in the temple, and he made people worship. He forced the Jewish people to worship him. All right, so this guy was a pretty evil and pretty wicked guy. So Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of in the book of Daniel, this is what he's talking about here, this guy Antiochus. So now fast forward, how does that relate to us? All right, so I shared this with you a little bit last year, but let's unpack this a little bit more this year. This week. The Antichrist, according to Daniel 9:27, will make a covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years. All right, and we see that in Daniel 9:27. So who else made a covenant with the Jews? Antiochus Epiphanes, right? And during the tribulation, halfway through, well, let me back up. He will allow them to continue the sacrifices, right? They will be able to continue to do their sacrifices, all right? And halfway through the tribulation, he breaks the covenant, right? The sacrifices cease. And then what happens? He persecutes Israel. Now, we see what did Jesus say? When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. All right, so we know that that was Antiochus Epiphanes, but the same thing the Antichrist is gonna do. So saints, as Bible students, it's important that we understand this concept right here, that the Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jews for 7 years. He allows them to sacrifice, to worship, and to do all the things that they want to do to worship God. In the midst of the covenant, in the midst of 7 years, the middle of the tribulation, Antichrist breaks the covenant and he causes the sacrifices to cease. Now, remember, let me go back here. What did Daniel say? Daniel said that the daily sacrifice will be taken away in Daniel 11:31. Daniel 12:11, the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. So what's going to happen? Antichrist is going to cause all that to cease, and then he begins to persecute Israel. All right, so that's important. And notice this, how can Israel begin to sacrifice again unless there's a what? Somebody help me out. Unless there's a temple, right? And right now there's no temple. You know, all the stuff that they did in the Old Testament, there's no temple. So somebody said, how close are we to the end? And that's why I'm getting ready to show you here. This shows you how close that we are to this time. Now, I'm not going to set any dates, and I'm not going to say there's any specific time, but I'm going to show you how close that we are. We're closer than we think. Notice this. There's preparation for the temple. If you go to Israel right now, men have been trained for temple service.
For joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Antichrist Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Antichrist Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Antichrist Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Antichrist Part 2 from our series on prophecy, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.